Accession number 27322, Reel 2.
Dennis Keane, Reel 2. So you then had to, once you were put out of the carrier, you were off marching then?
That's right. So we marched the last 20 miles, which absolutely creased us. Our feet were in a dreadful state by the time we got back.
And when you did the street fighting in Hull, this was in bombed areas of Hull, was it? Yeah.
No, great fun.
Was it?
Throwing thunder flashes everywhere you weren't supposed to throw them.
And what were you doing as a signaller? Were you, you were
No, we forgot the signalling for that day. Okay. But we also did other things, you see. I mean, one night we did mine clearing down on the on your tummies all night with a stabbing with a bayonet looking for mines. So you did another night we were raided by somebody or other. So it was quite good.
You enjoyed all this by the sound of it, really?
Oh yeah. Yes. Yeah, also, by then, I'd realised I'd got an aptitude for radio anyway, for the radio sets, and I could get as good results as you could get out of them.
Were they quite temperamental, these sets? I mean,
useless. They were useless.
What was their real shortcoming? You could
go, lack of range, too fragile. They were all valved, of course. So they were fragile. You couldn't, if you dropped them, they were broken anyway. As I've said to the kids, you could go into Tandy, any Tandy store now, and buy far better ones for about 10 quid than ever we had.
Yes.
You know.
And the Fuller phone, was that what sort of a thing?
That was an ordinary phone. What you've got to understand, that the ordinary telephone system was earth return. So you had one wire running to your phones, then you stuck a couple of iron rods into the ground to which the other wire ran. And so it all ran, used the ground as the second line. So it was all earth return. And now that was that in the First World War particularly had been very unsafe, because somebody else could do the same thing, more or less, and tap in and listen to your conversations. By the time we were using them, I don't think it was, because we went often in the same place very long anyway. But the Fuller phone still worked on, I still think it worked, Earth Return, but it scrambled. But you could only use Morse code with the Fuller phone. So that was a different way of doing the same job.
Right. So, Skegness.
We can come back to that when we get to the war.
Yes, yeah. So how long were you in Skegness then?
Yes, we did the 5 weeks we were told. Mm-hmm. Then went back to Horncastle.
Right, yeah. And back to the 8th Battalion.
Yeah. They immediately said, well, at the end of... They said to Alex and myself, at the end of 5 weeks, you're entitled to leave. Officially, it's embarkation leave, but you're not going anywhere at the moment. So we got a fortnight's leave. Went back to Horncastle. Then about a week later, they said, I'm awfully sorry, lads. We've been told we get a post you, though we want to keep you. So we were sent to the D company of the battalion, which was in the usual Nissen huts.
Yeah. Where's this, at Horncastle? Or?
Yes, just outside Horncastle.
Right.
And for posting. So, a few days later, they formed us all up, and the whole lot of us, and said, and by then we joined the normal crowd for posting, about a couple, two platoons, I should think, and they formed up, and the officer went, put his arm down. He said, right, left-hand side, 21st Army Group, right-hand side, Far East. And that's how I got in. That's how I got to Northwest Europe.
Right. So you were in the 21st Army?
And I was in the 21st Army lot.
Right, yeah. Were you apprehensive? You know, were you glad that you'd gone
Glad we didn't go to the Far East, yes, but we didn't know where the hell 21st Army Group was going or what they were, even.
So, where did you go to? Did you stay at Hall Castle?
No. Immediately we were 2 days late. No, we were given... Then, this is the good part. We were all given our embarkation leave. Our proper embarkation leave. And this was about 3 or 4 weeks after we'd had a fortnight's embarkation leave.
You did well on leave.
And that was Alec. That was Alec and myself and two other lads who trained with the mortars. Mortar platoon. There were four of us. And we thought, this isn't right. We didn't say anything, of course, but we thought, this is not right. They're bound to pick us up. So we skulked in the churchyard at Horncastle till the bus was about to go. Caught the bus, instead of the train, caught the bus into Lincoln, kept out of the railway station till just before the train was due to pull out for Derby, thinking all the time there'd be a message saying, come back. And we got our fortnight's leave. And the odd thing is that although my mother and my father were likely to be called out at any night by the people who ran the ambulance that they manned, and I wasn't expected back home again, as far as they knew. I knocked the door in the middle of the night and I heard my mum shout, that's Dennis. I still don't, and she don't know how she knew. But anyway, we got our fortnight's leave. Immediately pushed on a train down to Bury St Edmunds, which was the collecting point for reinforcements. We were allowed out there, but we were not allowed to write under MPs posted along the road into the town to make sure we didn't. But we were allowed to go to the cinema from there, and that's where Alec and I got separated. Because the first thing they did, they put us together with a platoon of light infantry, Oxen Bucks, whose sergeant shouted something, and away they all went, and we were still standing there, waiting to be given some sort of order to shoulder arms or something, and they'd all gone. So they thought that wasn't a very good idea. And I found out after, I didn't know at the time, well, I must have done, I'd forgotten, that I was posted to the 1st Worcesters then, which was the battalion I joined in Normandy. But never realised that till my mother died, and she got a letter from me, from Bury St Edmunds, from this reinforcement holding unit, headed 1st Worcesters.
Right.
And I probably didn't even sure of it.
Mm. So where did you joined the 1st Worcesters at Bury St Edmunds?
They were in 43rd Div. Alec and another friend of mine, Gordon, were treated a bit differently. They were sent straight down to 43 Div, and they were sent to the Worcesters. The Worcesters said, we don't need you, but we think the Cornwalls have got a couple of vacancies, need a couple more blokes to bring them up to strength. And so Alec and Gordon finished up in the Fifth Cornwalls. In the same brigade that we were.
Yeah. So where did you actually join the Worcesters physically?
Well, quite a while after, because we were whipped down to Southampton and joined an overnight convoy for Normandy, and we were told we were urgently required first reinforcements.
So what sort of date was this, the Normandy landing?
That was D6, six days after, right. When we started to go.
Right.
We went across. Mm. And
there
was
just on a convoy.
No, it was just a three-ship, assault ship convoy. Fast, cross-channel type steamers. And we land in Normandy.
Whereabouts did you land, you know?
Annelles.
And how organised was it then? I mean, what was going on? What did you see?
Well, most of it was quite good. The worst part was having to get... I was on a Canadian landing... a Canadian assault ship called the Prince David, which was their first trip back after D-Day, where they'd landed at the Regiment de la Chaudière, I think, the French-Canadians. And the worst part was lovely. They got bunks, not hammocks, of course, being a Canadian ship, and very well fed for... They gave us extra cigarettes, this kind of thing, to take up with us. And the worst part was getting down the scrambling nets, down the side of the ship, with the landing craft we were getting into going up and down about 6 or 8 feet. And you're having to time when you jumped, you know. That was the worst part of it. Till we got by the shore... And there was a sailor, and I swear he was standing on a sandbank or something. He's only up to his knees in water. All right, lads, away you go. So we went, and we went in up to our shoulders nearly. But then we marched up to a little area up the road. Slept in a ditch overnight, and that was our first experience of 24-hour ration packs, of course. These concentrated tea sugar milk things and porridge.
Did you have any idea where you were going?
No, none at all. No idea at all.
So it was just you and... There were just two of you were there from...
No, it was only me by then. The others had gone, you know. Right. All my friends had left me.
Yeah.
And there's a big group of us, of course. Remember the tremendous barrage from the ships overnight, you know. And then next morning, we were formed up and told we got to march, and that we were heading for a place called Bayou, which I'd never heard of, of course. And... away we went.
What was the weather like? Do you remember that morning?
Bit of rain, not very bright day, not a very nice day at all. Nobody gave us lifts, so we had to sort of struggle. We struggled on. Don't forget, we got big packs on the back.
And you were still a bit damp, I expect.
We were damp. Yeah. We were well loaded. And of course, the damp trousers were rubbing and this kind of thing. They weren't very good. Anyway, we eventually ended up in a field just outside Bayeux, where over the next couple of weeks we proceeded to set up a proper reinforcement holding unit. First of all, we were in the ditch again, and then we started to dig ourselves in, and we dug bigger holes and erected tents over the top. Standard Army 160 and 180 pounders, and compo rations started to arrive, and which we did our own, we did cooking by tents. I can't remember, it's probably about a dozen in a tent with the corporal. Did our own cooking over open fires at first, and then army stoves. And realised since, of course, the reason we were there so long was that the 43rd Div had been held up by the storm. Otherwise, we would have joined them much sooner.
Right. So they hadn't landed yet?
No.
Right.
They should have been landing just a day or two after. But they'd been offshore because on some D-13, I think it was, the big storm blew up. And very little of the 43rd Div got in till after it, which held everything up. Also held up me joining the Worcesters. So I joined. So when we'd done this, we were able to go into Bayeux. Obviously, there were no restrictions or anything like that.
What was the town like then?
Well, first, it was my first close contact with a French town, and can remember all the Camembert stacked up down the streets because they couldn't get it out. And because a lot of it was going off, but we did try it. I thought it was horrible at that time. Love it now, and went into the local cafes. I had my first dose of Calvados, which again was pretty rough. Well, I was only 18, just 19, so didn't appeal to me then like it does now. And it was probably only the local brew anyway. And the first sort of coffee in a cafe, this kind of thing. Yeah, quite good. Yeah. Then I did join the battalion.
Right. So the holding unit that they'd been setting up, that was, how many of you were there setting that up?
Stacked loads of four from different divisions. Because right. Yeah. I know I was cross, because I got mad because there was a whole crowd of Warwick's. Headed for 59 Division, which was the local pithead division anyway, and I was mad because I couldn't join them.
Yeah. So you joined the 1st Worcesters, and where were they when you
just
joined
them? We joined their B echelon first, which was the most bit of the unit. And waited till we were posted up to the line, up to join them. And that was the question of digging little slits to sleep in. And
that was near Bayeux, was it?
No, that was near Caen, not too far away from. Well, it couldn't have been all that near, but it wasn't too far away. Because we were still there when they made the big raid on Caen, and I can still remember that.
Yeah. So when you first... You joined B Echelon, and then you moved up to Caen.
Yes,
right?
We moved up to when they they'd just done their first action at a place called Mouen, M-O-U-E-N. Apparently very successful. They'd moved back behind Mouen, so they were actually a reserve battalion for the brigade, and we joined them there,
right.
Two of us. There was a long-serving pre-war soldier from the Royal Berkshire Regiment, and myself,
right.
Just the two of us.
And what was it like joining them? I mean, you didn't know them; they didn't know you. They had to slot you in. So how did that all take place?
Well, I just met the sergeant, who since then has been a very good friend anyway. But all he said was, "Well, there's a hole over there. You two get into it." You know, we've got nothing flying about. I mean, we're a couple of miles, must have been 2 or 3 miles back, I would think. and quite all right. What saw the could see the German planes come over at night. Just make them out, one or two of them out. And we were there for three, four days.
And was that where you saw the radon call?
No, that was I saw that in BS long before we did that.
Yeah. And what was that raid like then? When you
I just saw all the aircraft going over. Most exciting thing was for us was a Spit dropped his long range tank almost on us, and we got enough petrol to fill all our lighters from him. Probably high octane at that.
Did you think? Did you think the war was going to that? It was all going as it should be, and it
had no idea at all. The typical private in a regiment, just knew nothing. Seen no papers, nothing. Well, obviously, we knew the invasion had gone well, and there was a bit of a thrill about joining that, because we had heard all right on the radio this kind of thing before we went. But no idea it was going well, bad, or anything. And we went up the line. And we were in a place called Baron, B-A-R-O-N. Sergeant Norton took me up round the where the cables ran, up to as far as the company headquarters.
What sort of landscape was it there? Do you remember
hill.
The position?
Quite close to Hill 112, which was the really bad area. Bit of stuff flying about. It was fairly quiet that sort of week. Mm-hmm. We were the other side of the Orne, of course, which had been one of the major objectives. We crossed the Orne, paddled across it, and to get to Baron. And then, after about a week of that, we were pulled back, did a bit of line maintenance and manning the switchboard, this kind of thing, to start us off. And laid a line, one or two lines. We participated in a night attack, which was apparent, which we found out since, was a disaster.
Right. Everybody
went the wrong way. Right.
What did you do in the night attack? We were laying,
and anybody who knows it, so it's hopeless. We were trying to lay a salt cable, which was very thin, wiry stuff. It's like trying to reel out a mile of piano wire, which is hopeless. It got tangled and dreadful stuff. Apparently we did a half circle and ended up about sort of a mile from where we started in the dark. It didn't work anyway, that one. One other night, it went out with two of us and a corporal, to lay a line, and we laid a line through a village. I'm not sure which village it was, but while we were doing it, a German line party came up the other side of the road, laying a line the other way.
Did you see each other?
We don't know. We ignored them.
And they ignored you.
That's right.
That's fair.
And then we were taken out for a rest. Had a very short rest, 2 or 3 days, maybe 4, and saw George Formby.
Did you?
Went into a field, saw George Formby, and this is while I was still at the RHU, went into the Bayou, presumably Opera House or whatever it was, to see, I think, Sid Millwood and his Nitwits, which was, I think they were an army concert party. What impressed me was the building itself, because all the sort of boxes, stalls, were straight up, just like a real opera house. was all straight up. There was no slope at all. It was rather quite interesting, that one.
Yeah. Must have been quite an atmosphere, having it full of servicemen.
That's right. Yeah. Yes, it was. It was quite. It's all new, different, absorbing, and as you realise by now, a very gentle introduction to a war.
Yeah. Yeah. What had you heard about Hill 112?
Since.
Or at the time? Had you, did no. Did have a reputation?
I only realised since that's where we were.
Right.
That's only through visiting since. I don't know, if you drive through Barron, up the track, you end up on Hill 112.
So you weren't hearing about it as a sort of...
No, no.
No, right. Okay.
But then we changed altogether. We moved right across to the other side of the front, the far western side, a place called... And we assembled just outside a place called Caumont, C-A-U-M-O-N-T. Mm-hmm. To get there, we cycled on army bicycles with your rifle and everything else. And it's not easy with your rifle slung across your back. And army bicycles were not the best thing to move on anyway. They're dreadfully uncomfortable. I love cycling, but not after that.
So you came to Cornwall. What
yeah.
was going on there?
Well, we were by the not far from, we were not far from the side of the Americans. Apparently, a whole corps was attacking downwards to us. All it was, we were in the from our view. We went into the slit trenches, which had been occupied by the Americans. So the whole place was covered with American ration packs, which they'd just taken out the bits they wanted, like the cigarettes, and we sort of helped ourselves to everything else. So we'd all got packs full of cheese and ham and things like that, little tiny tins, which were sort of twee, you know, to us. Used to tin of bully beef. And we must have been back a bit, because the 25... The self-propelled 25-pounders, not just by the side of us, that were firing. So we must have been fairly close to the front again. But this is the, if you like, this is the infantryman's viewpoint. You can see the next field, sort of thing. And that's about it. Then we moved off, and by evening I can remember following a Sherman. And then it's a sort of mixed mixture of moving up, laying the odd lines, but not much because we were moving pretty well all the time, going down through villages.
Right, I'll stop you there. Dennis Keane, end of reel 2.
Mm.